1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to bring a brief message tonight, so I hope you just sit real still now. I don't want nobody else getting up and moving around. I'm going to bring a message that's been on my heart in part for a good while. And the message I'll bring tonight is not one a preacher likes to bring, and it's not easy to bring, and we don't gloat in it by no means whatsoever, because I'll say some things tonight that'll no doubt hit home with some of you and rub you the wrong way and make you mad at me. And I figure a preacher don't make somebody mad at him these days ain't doing much preaching. He couldn't be, not in this generation. You couldn't be doing much preaching if somebody don't get mad at you. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Oh, that's one curse that ain't on me by the help of God. I tell you tonight, I'm going to say some things that you'll like part of it and you won't like part of it. I can tell you that right now. And I hope tonight that God will use it to speak to your heart. But I promise you this. I'm glad the Lord let us have a good spirit and atmosphere in here tonight, because that softens you up for a hard sermon. I promise you this tonight. Everything I'm getting ready to say, I'm saying in a heart of love. And there ain't nobody in here that I would deliberately get down on you or on your case or try to make you look good, bad. And I hope you know that. I wouldn't do that for nothing. But it's my job as a pastor to preach what we need. And I believe we need this tonight. And so the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 has a verse in it. Look at verse number 58. Now I'm going to talk personal to you tonight. I don't know what all I'm going to say, tell you the truth. I'm just going to haul off and just say what comes to my mind and get some things off my heart. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. That's like somebody driving a nail in a piece of wood. Driving that nail in there, pow, pow. And when the wind blows, that nail ain't going nowhere. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't have a title for the message tonight. I guess it might be some things that our church that we need right now. A church goes through periods of time where it needs different things. Sometimes we need a blessing. Sometimes we need a blistering. Sometimes we need to be fed. Sometimes we need to be sheared. Sheep need to be fed every day, but they only need to be sheared about once or twice a year. And I guess I want our church to be fed, and I want it to be sheared, and I want our church to have a good testimony in this world. Tonight I believe there's two or three things that I'd like to mention that I believe that we need, and I'm not talking about just leaders in the church. I will be saying something to the leaders and officers in our church, but I'm talking about everybody that's here. If you're a visitor, this message is for you. You may be a member of another church. You may not be a member of any church. You need what I'm getting ready to say tonight. I want to say, by the help of the Lord tonight, I believe the first thing that we need and I need, especially in these times, is a desire. I don't believe that you can replace a God-given thirst and a desire to do something for God. It's not going to do me or any other preacher any good to fuss and scream and holler at you to live right if you don't have a desire. Now, I love that song the young people sang, "It's My Desire." You know, I've said it over and over and over. I want my girls, my three girls, to live right even when their daddy ain't around. If I got killed on the way home tonight, I'd like to look back from heaven and say, "God, how's my girls doing down there?" And see them still standing up in church singing, "It's My Desire to Live for Jesus." Listen, if God gives you a desire, brother, you'll be all right. I don't know how to give you desire. I can't give them. Only thing I know how to do is just preach Jesus so good and be so salty that'll make you thirsty and it'll make you want what we've got. I don't know how else to do it, but there's got to be a desire. Nothing will take the place of a desire. The Bible says, "He delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of your heart." I wonder what you want tonight. Do you really want to live right? Do you really want to be right with God? If you do, you can be. If you don't, all the preaching in the world is not going to help you if you don't have a desire. I believe you've got some kind of a desire tonight. You wouldn't even be here unless you've been made to come. You would not even be in this building tonight if you did not have a desire. I'll never forget, never, ever forget, before we started this church, for about a solid 2 months, that thing was in me, and it was burning in my soul. Before that, I always thought that I was going to be an evangelist. I said, "God, I want to be an evangelist and travel around and preach and work with people and just meet people and go from place to place." And about 2 months before this thing started, God put a desire in my heart. And I'd go see a bunch of young people get saved somewhere while I was preaching. And I'd want to just get them so bad I couldn't stand it. I hated to leave them when the week was over. I thought, if I could just get them and meet with them and talk to them and teach them and preach to them, man, we could see them do something for God. And God put a desire in my heart. You've heard me tell it before, as I would drive up and down that street out there back in 1977 in January. I'd look up there on the hill at that old building, and every time I look up there, wheels would start turning. Firecrackers would start going off in my heart. And I'd look up there and something would say, "There it is, there it is." And I'd say, "Lord, I don't even know who owns that building." So I got to asking around and inquiring, and I found out who owned the building, and I went and talked to them, and you know, and this, that, and the other, and things begin to come in my heart. And I went up here one day, you've heard me tell it, how that I parked my old van out here under the snow, and I parked it down here so nobody wouldn't even see me up there. I walked up that hill in the snow and peeped in the building, that old building up there through them glass doors. And boy, when I peeped in there, I could see that thing full of people. I could see people in there getting saved. I could see just like it really happened. I could see it. And God put a desire in my heart. Brother, I tell you, I started wanting it so bad, I couldn't stand it. I started thinking about it. I was preaching at another church, and on Sunday morning, when I'd get up to preach, I'd be thinking about that building up there. On Saturday night, or when I'd get ready to study, I'd be thinking about that building up there. And God put a desire. Listen, young preachers, listen, teachers, nothing can take the place of a desire. A desire. Anybody who's ever done anything for God was consumed by a desire to see that thing come to pass. We'd have never made it, I'll guarantee. There's been thousands of churches pop up and never got off the ground and went out of business before 6 months' time, and they couldn't stand the pressure of the devil. You know what makes the difference? A God-given desire. If God has put a desire in your heart to drive a bus, if God has put a desire in your heart to teach a class, if God has put a desire in your heart to preach or to sing or to testify or to witness, oh, just keep that desire burning and don't let nothing stop that desire. You know what the devil will do? The devil will do everything in his power to keep a I'd rather have 10 men with a desire than 10 men with an education. Any day of the week. Any day of the week. 10 men with a desire will get more done for God than 100 men with an education and no desire. Desire! Desire! Wantin' it! Wantin' it! Like Sam said. Now please, boys, don't get up. No more. Nobody else get up, okay? Like Sam said, when you lay down and you start saying Jesus, 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 and you start wanting Jesus more than anything else, and you start wanting His power in your life more than you want other things. We got back last night about, 25 to 12, something like that. It was a little bit earlier the other night, and we got back last night, and we come in here, and I was walking in and seeing the lights on. I said, "Who's here?" We came in, of course, these boys was laying around here in these pews a-praying. And at 12 o'clock last night, while most of you were in the bed. They was laying there and here and there, and they was just groaning, begging God to bless these services today. You know that service we had this morning? God was in here this morning, folks. God done some things here this morning. You know why? You know why stuff like that happens? Because somebody wants it to. That's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. God will give us the desires of our heart. If we want a fired up church, we're going to have one. If we want a dead church, that's exactly what we'll have. That whatever kind of life you want, that's what God will let you have. I thank God for what He's done. I thank God for revival fire. Let me say something right here. I'm gonna just say whatever comes to my mind. Will you trust me tonight to say that? I promise you I'll say everything that comes to my mind. How's that? I ain't going to hold back, and I ain't going to put on. Now, it might get scary, and I might say some things that scares my own self, but I'm going to say what comes. I'm going to talk to you just like it's me and you 101 over there in my office. Somebody said the other day, we was talking about Robbinsville, and they said, oh, I want that to happen at our church. And they meant well, but what they don't realize, that can't happen in this church. Y'all hearing me? That ain't going to happen in our church. You know why it can't? We've always had revival. We've always had the fire burning. Listen, when revival hits a church like that, it's a church that's been cold and dead for years and years, and it's dry kindling. Have you ever built a fire in a fireplace? It's dry kindling. It's dry kindling. No, and a spark hits it. And when a spark hits it, it fans up. Listen, folks, we've had the fire burning for 12 years. We've had sparks revival ever since we started. We ain't going to have that spark lit again. God ain't going to light us another one. We've already got one burning. We just need to stoke it. We need the wind to blow on it. We need the Holy Ghost just to blow through here and fan the fire that's always been burning. Don't look for what happened in Robbinsville. Happened here. It done happened here, man. It happened in Boston City to our young people. It happened to a bunch of us way back in 77. All we need is God to go and blow on it real good. And you know when that'll happen? When a desire comes. It'd be so easy for us to sit back and say, well, everywhere I go, people talk about how big our church is. And, you know, we're doing this, you know, and we're doing that. And we're doing that. We got missionaries on the field. And we're running the bus ministry, and praise God. It'd be easy for about 3/4 of you to backslide and let 1/4 do all the work. See, you can hide in the crowd, see? You can just slide back, you know, and say, well, they don't see me now because all these people's coming and everything. But you know what? God wants you to have a desire. And I don't believe God has done everything He wants to do in McDowell County yet. You know what our desire was when we first got saved? We went around talking about this all the time. I don't know how we got it. I don't know. Maybe the Lord put it in our heart. I don't know. But you know what we said? We said we want to see God turn McDowell County upside down for the glory of God. Now, I've been saved 16 years now, and I still believe God can turn McDowell County upside down for His glory. Don't you? Now, you say, well, big deal. You know what? He ain't never going to do it till you want it. He ain't never going to do it till you want it. Do you want to see God do something? Do you want God to use you to be a soul winner? Do you want the Lord? It all depends on your desire. You say, Brother Danny, I ain't got a desire. How do I get one? Well, the first thing is repent and turn from your sins. Everything that you're doing in your life that's wrong, get rid of it. You been watching nasty movies? You can't have a desire to do something for God and watch nasty movies. You can't. It's impossible. You say, well, I can't. Oh, no, you can't. You can't have a desire to do something for God and be running around on your husband or your wife or drinking liquor. You can't. You've got to first turn from what you're doing wrong and turn to God and get down and pray and beg God to give you that desire. And He'll give you the desire. It's a God-given desire. See, we don't have it in ourselves. It's not something we conjure up. It's a God-given thirst and a hunger. Second thing we need is, hold your seatbelts, is a dedication. Is a dedication. Brother, if our church is going to be what it ought to be, everybody needs to be dedicated. Say, what does that mean, preacher? I'll tell you what you do. You go home tonight and you look up the word dedicated in your dictionary. Thank God for people who believe in being dedicated. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people sure do love their church. Because they ain't been in a long time. I met a fellow one day and I said, where you go to church? And he said, well, when I go, you know when they start out like that, they don't go. You know when they talk like that, they don't go to church. He said, when I go up here at such and such. I said, did you go Sunday? He said, nope. I said, did you go last Sunday? He said, nope. I said, what about Sunday before that? He said, no. I said, well, why haven't you been going to church? He said, well, I'm inactive. I said, is that another way of saying you're backslid? Oh, no, no, no. Now, inactive is a cute little word that the devil has invented, which means backslid. And what you're doing is you're saying when somebody's backslid, you're dressing it up, give a little paint job, you know, to make it. It's like calling a whore a prostitute, you know, give her a little dignification there. It's like calling a graveyard a memorial park. You know, same old bones out there, brother. Same old stuff, boy. Rotten people in those graves. And there's no, you can't make it. It's like calling a drunk an alcoholic, you know, or with a disease or something like that. That's not, you're not inactive, you're just out of the will of God. And I'm telling you tonight, brother, we need a dedication. We need a dedication. We need a dedication. We need a dedication. Brother, I believe, listen, when you join something, you're saying, I'm behind this thing. I'm a part of this thing. You can depend on me. But oh, down through the years, some of you have lost your first love or left your first love, and you got to the place where going to church don't seem as real and as meaningful to you as it once did in days gone by. And it just kind of take it or leave it. But the day's going to come when you'll remember that God is more important than anything and that you should be dedicated to the work of God. All right. I want to single out a group right now. Young preachers. Anybody who's called to preach. If there's anybody in the church that ought to walk through them doors like clockwork when the doors open, it's somebody that says, God's called me to preach. No, I bet you the congregation here is not interested in hearing a man preach that don't even come to church good and regular. Amen? Now, young preachers, I'm not trying to be hard on you tonight. I'm just trying to tell you the truth and tell it like it is. You, of all people, have... Listen, you folks wouldn't want to listen to me preach if I laid out of church half a time, would you? Y'all wouldn't listen to me preach if I didn't even show up for special things and didn't even come to prayer meeting and didn't come on Wednesday night. Y'all would say, boy, old Brother Denny, he ain't much of a preacher. Listen, your life speaks louder than your words. Your life speaks louder. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about the preachers of days gone by. Let me tell you something about the dedication of men who sit in these pews just like you young preachers are sitting on tonight. Now you can shout when I get through if you'll take it. If you stub up and get mad, you ain't gonna grow. But if you'll take it, you can shout when I get through. You listen to me? We expect people that we can dish it out, but it's hard for us to take it sometimes. Amen? Amen! I'm telling you, boy, I remember men who sat on those pews. I'll never forget Ricky Bullock up yonder in Bell Cable, up yonder in that old building, laying there night after night after night on their face before God, begging God. Listen, they preached wherever they got an opportunity. They preached on the street. They didn't sit around and whine about doors not be opening. There's doors open all over the country. If you don't want to go through them, you don't have to. Listen, boy, when I first started preaching, if Bruce had asked me to preach on one of them buses, that would have thrilled my soul. I'd have said, glory to God, I get to preach on the bus. But we've seen a generation of young preachers in this day and time that think if they're not in the pulpit, that ain't preaching. There was a time when I never got to preach in a pulpit. All my preaching was at the trade lot on Saturday morning and on the street uptown. And if you're faithful in little things, God will move you on to bigger things. You don't start out at the top. Work your way up. You say, why don't so-and-so ever preach in our church? Because they don't come to church regular. Amen. Hey, it'll help you tonight if you'll be dedicated. I'll say this. If you're a preacher, if you're a church member, and we're having service at this church, your place is at this church. The only time I am ever gone from this church is when I'm preaching. I don't go off somewhere to sing when we're having church. I don't go somewhere to enjoy the fellowship when we're having church. My church is my place. And one of these days, when you guys pastor a church, then you'll be expecting people to be faithful, and you'll look back and you'll feel like a dog if you ain't being faithful. Preacher ought to be in Sunday school. Preacher lays out of Sunday school, ain't got no business preaching everybody else to do, right? Y'all know that's the truth. You know that's the truth. You know what Mike McDaniels does? Mike McDaniels travels all over this country. He's full-time prison ministry. And Mike, when he is home, he's got 10 blue million things to do. He gets to see his wife and kids a couple of days, spend a little time with them, go pay his bills, get his hair cut, mow his grass, take care of things at home. And you know what Mike does? He's here on Thursday morning to go visiting with us. Ain't that right, Bruce? He's here. He's back on Thursday night to go visiting with us. And he don't even ever get to come to a regular service. That's the kind of man God will bless. You know what Ricky Bullock does? Ricky sends his tithes to this day from Germany to our church. Don't you think he needs it over there? And I told him, I said, man, he said, what should I do? I said, man, when you get you a church going, get that thing established, you put them in that church over there that you're a part of. As long as you're just a little mission works them. He said, I feel like I ought to send them out. I said, send them on. That's what you think God wants you to do. Listen, when God will bless a man that honors and puts his church first. We have four services a week. We have Sunday morning. We have Sunday night. We have Wednesday night. We have Thursday night. Those are scheduled services. And anybody in here who people look up to and people respect you and honor you and you take part in this service, you are letting down people that admire you and look up to you if they are faithful to church more than you are. Three, four, five. Smile, God hates sin. That's going to be our new slogan. I'm telling you, we need a dedication. So, preacher, I don't feel led. I reckon you feel led to go gallivanting off the steakhouse on Thursday night. Hey, 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 you hear me tonight? Brother, if we are going to get the job done in McDowell County that we need to get done, we're going to have some dedication. Other churches. What somebody asked me about you. What people do that all the time. They'll say, what about old so-and-so? Are they faith? I say, well, they are, but they don't ever go visiting with the church. I mean, I don't want to say that. I ain't going to lie for you. Can you recommend so-and-so? Well, I got to tell you the truth, man. I hardly ever see them. And I've had to do that. I just think we need to get back to some old-fashioned dedication to the church that God's given. Listen, there's people that live in Florida and Michigan. They'd give their right arm to be a member of this church. I know people in Florida right now, they eat up every tape they get from here. They love our choir. They love the Parker family. They love our youth choir. And somehow they like to hear me preach. I don't know why. And brother, they get every tape they can get. And they say, man, I'd give anything to go to that church. I'd love to have that church. It's my church. And here we sit, many of us. And brother, we just kind of let the work. You're discouraging young people. Some of you mamas and daddies, you're setting an example, whether you realize it or not. They're looking at you. They're looking at your life. They're watching you. They're patterning themselves. They'll say, well, so-and-so don't do this, and so-and-so does that, and they're well-respected in the church. You don't know what an influence. You see, you got me preaching one thing, and you telling the young people by your life not to pay no attention to what I say. And then you come to me and say, Brother Danny, we're behind you 100%. No, you're not. You just want people to think you are. This one certain person told me over and over and over, they'll say, I'm behind you. Anything I can do, let me know. And I told them what I wanted them to do, and never did see them no more. I could get a lot plainer, but you don't know who I'm talking about. We're going to have some dedication. I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about preaching service. I'm talking about revival nights. Dedication. You know something? The old Ayatollah is really catching it right now. You know, everybody's on his case. Writers are saying it's not right. And now everybody's going to read the satanic verses when they come out. Do you know something tonight? I know he's a wild man. I know he's crazy. And I know he's probably full of demons. There's something about a guy like that that makes me say, amen. You know what that satanic verse is about? It's it toward Allah is the same thing the last temptation was toward Jesus Christ. The movie, The Last Temptation, came out last year. At least you got to tell them, well, at least they do love their God. At least they don't stand back and let somebody talk about their God. I don't, $1 million reward and all that. Somebody said the other day, that'd about be worth backsliding for you and get that $1 million and then you use it for God. Go over and bump that guy off. I don't think y'all do that. I bet you they have a lot of people feel led to go get him, though. I don't know where he's at, hiding in some cellar somewhere, somebody's basement or what, but I guarantee he'll think twice before he writes another book like that. I'm not saying I support the Ayatollah. I'm just saying it might be good if we got that upset when somebody talks about our... Listen, they made movies called Oh God. They advertised a special this week while I was in Louisville. Put it on TV all week. And they had old John Boy off of the Walton playing a preacher who was a drug, messing around with this old whore and on her on drugs and called it glory, glory, going to heaven or something like that and made just a big mockery of the ministry and made it look like every preacher's a crook and every preacher's living in sin and made a mockery to God. That'll be an outrage! God's people. When they take our kids and set them down to high school and let them watch Dirty Dancing, and then send them home with 3 hours of homework and make you teach them. I don't see how some of you moms and dads sit still. We're a generation of wimps. You know something? I don't know if I didn't say anything about this, but I promise you I'd say whatever comes to my mind. We're getting ready to get it again. I don't know for sure, but we're getting ready to get it in when the book on the Strode comes out. You saw it advertised on CNN. This week, it's coming out real soon. I'll tell you also, you won't hear it through the grapevine. Two authors from Virginia called me about last October. And as you know, last October, I didn't hardly know my last name. And they call me and they said, Reverend Castle this and Reverend Castle that, and we've heard this and we've heard that. We've been told this and we've been told that, and we're going to write a book. I said, whoa, here, just a second. And everybody said, what are you going to do, preacher? You know what they said? In so many words, they said that our church was cruel, that we didn't act like Christians, that made one allegation right after another. This is going to be all over the United States, you know. They're advertising on cable news network all over the country. They wanted to put it out. He said, now there's some discrepancy about your life, Mr. Castle. He said it might be that you're not even supposed to be a pastor of a church because of your family situation. When he said that, man, that was about all I could take. I thought them idiots, if they walked 2 weeks in my shoes, they wouldn't even know how to spell a cat. Man, I about had all that junk I could stand. And I told you something. He said something about, is your house in order? I said, let me tell you something, buddy. I said, my house is in order. I said, if you don't believe it, come to my house. I've got three daughters. My daughters are in church every Sunday. We don't have rock music in our house. We don't allow dirty movies in our house. We say the blessing over our meal. We have family order. My house is in order. If you don't like it, I'm going to bust your nose if you don't leave me alone. I didn't add that part, but I wanted to. And I'm not the next person that says that. I'm thinking about it serious. I've had it with that junk, man. Listen. What is your house? Your house, if I understand that book right, from Genesis to Revelation, a man's house is who's living in his house. If you got 10 kids and 14 grandyoungins, and all of them live in your house, the man is to be the head of that house, right? Do I understand that verse right, Brother Glenn? Brother Glenn's been saved a lot longer than I have, Clinton. Ain't that right? Whoever's under your roof is your house. If one of your kids goes out and gets on drugs, and they go out and mess up their life, if they don't live under your house, you're not responsible for it. You are responsible for who lives under your roof. And I'll tell you, by the grace of God, I want to be the man of the house of those that live under my roof. And anybody that don't want to be a Christian under my roof don't have to live there. And I'm telling you tonight, church, I've made a sacrifice. I've caused myself to go through untold, you wouldn't believe what I've been through. You wouldn't believe it. Every time some little smart aleck preacher, I've had it happen more than once. Well, I don't know about you, brother. I don't know about you. I'm going to beer. I've never been drunk. I don't even know what it feels like. They have the best commercials they are. They spend a fortune on them. You know what scares me these days? Is the permissiveness. And what you know what really scares me? The way girls are acting nowadays. Hey, girls, you need some devotedness to the Lord. Don't you go out here and be no sleaze. You say, well, everybody, listen, you know what they do at the high school? They just pick out the one they want and go out and smack him, man. One of our young fellows here at the church told me, he said, good night. Girl comes running up to him, woo! Not afraid to talk. Get around her, man. You want to kiss him. It's scary. It's scary. I believe a girl ought to control herself and be meek. And I mean, good night. Let him ask you. I don't know if I promised you I'd say whatever came to my mind. It's going to sound awful. I was going to the mall to get something, a store. I mean, no, this happened within 30 minutes. And there's some young girls sitting in the, well, I guess maybe 17, 18, 19 years old. I got out of my car, walked by. One of them turned around and looked at me and said, turn me on, baby. That's the truth. And I went, I don't know what's, I didn't say nothing. I didn't say God loves you. I didn't say, are you, I just went, that's the truth, man. And I went in the store. It scared me to death. And I went in the store 10 minutes later and bought what I was going to buy and went up to the counter to pay for it. It's a pair of boots. And I said, well, I'll try these, you know, if they don't work. I was buying them for Dad, and I'll try these. And these two, I noticed the whole time I was in there, she kept talking and talking and talking and talking. I thought she was just trying to sell me something. And then after I got through, they said, I said, well, I can bring them back. And they said, okay, well, you can come back. And I said, well, if they don't fit, I will. And they said, no, it don't matter if they fit or not. You can still come back. And, you know, me being for dumb and stupid, it took it a few minutes to hit me, and I thought, that girl's a flirting with me. And I said, I know this is a devil. I know it is. I know it's you, devil. I know you, you sorry thing. And I've had all kinds of weird things like that happen. Phone call. Pure accident. We're living in a wicked time. Don't think you're some kind of lover boy or you're Miss America. Listen, these people out there, they'd run around with Godzilla, man. You ain't good looking. Don't let it go to your head.
think you're God's gift to women or something like that. You're just a fool that the devil's trying to deceive. You ain't nothing special. We're going to have some devotedness this day and time. Getting spooky. Well, let me say something else here. How long has it been since you heard a good old-fashioned sermon on smoking? Good time to preach on smoking. Amen. And I'm saying this to help you, and God knows that I'm not down on anybody, and the Bible says you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you, and I don't have any less respect for church members who smoke than I do the ones that don't and stuff like that. I don't try to pick favorites or nothing like that, but you know, I know some of the Sunday school teachers are having a hard time with it, and different people tell me, Brother Danny, I need help and all that. Let me just say something about it. The other day, before I got on the airplane, they told us in Kentucky, they said this is a non-smoking flight. They say you cannot smoke a cigarette on this airplane. Now, you know why that is? Because it bothers other people and gets in their eyes. And it gets on their clothes and it stinks. And if you smoke all the time, you can't smell it, but somebody else, it bothers them real bad. And there again, I'm not trying to be hateful or anything like that. I'm honestly trying to help you. I really am. Please believe me. Like that, you know, that one preacher's on there, and somebody was just blowing smoke in his face, and he's all in his hair and his clothes and everything. He thought, Lord, I'll have to take a shower as soon as I get to where I'm going, and because it bothers you real bad if you're not used to it. Finally, he turned around and took his chewing gum out of his mouth, and he said, Ma'am, would you like to chew my gum? And she said, oh, how dare you? What do you mean? And he said, well, I've been breathing your smoke, secondhand smoke, out of your mouth and nostrils all this time. I thought you might want to chew my gum a while. Bullets, guns, gas, electric chair, drowning, hanging, are faster. But for slow suicide, cigarettes are the sure way to do it. Cigarette smoke contains 19 poisons, including carbon monoxide, nicotine, carbolic acid, and many others. One cigarette contains as much as one kind of poison as 20 ounces of whiskey. And it's 50 times more poisonous than alcohol. You know why I'm telling you this? This ain't good for church membership. This ain't good to get bigger offerings. But it's good to let you know I love you. It's good to let you know I love you. For non-smokers between the ages of 60 to 64... people that don't smoke, your chances of getting lung cancer is 1 in 7,092. Light smokers, 1 in 1,081. Heavy smokers, 1 in 371. That means if you don't smoke, between 60 and 64, there's only one chance in 7,000 you'll get lung cancer. And if you do smoke regular, their chances 1 out of 370 you'll get it. Every cigarette you smoke takes 14 minutes off your life. And don't tell me that one of these days you ain't going to cherish those 14 minutes. 30,000 men and women who will die of lung cancer next year, 95% of them you can trace it to smoking. Just the other day I heard of a lady who went to the doctor for some problems and they opened her up and found lung cancer. And it's bad, it's real bad, because she's a heavy smoker. You think of money, I don't have no idea how much a pack of cigarettes cost. But let's say you spend $1 a day, let's right out of the blue. I don't know, maybe you do, maybe that's a lot, maybe that's not much, I don't know. If I parked a new Mitsubishi out there in the parking lot, and I said, anybody in here that smokes cigarettes, I'll give you that brand new Mitsubishi if you'll quit. Brand new, absolutely free. Or let's say it's maybe what's them other little cars? A Hyundai. Let's say I had one of them. And I had it sitting out there and I said, a brand new Hyundai. For everyone in here that quit smoking, you'd say, glory to God, I'm going to give it a try. $7,000. Did you know over the next 10 years,
you could buy you a new one and pay for it for the money you spend on cigarettes. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to get you a new car. I'm not trying to be hateful. Don't you fall out with me. Don't you say, oh, Brother Danny, boy, he really, I used to like him. But now, listen, man, I love you. And I want to help you. And I want you to be blessed of God. I don't want that stuff to ruin you. I don't want it to ruin you. Might be like that one fella. I like that. He said, he's sitting beside this guy on a long trip. And he said, every few minutes, he'd just go. He'd sit there a little while and go. And he kept looking at him. He's fascinated. He said, man, what are you doing? He said, well, I was a heavy smoker. And he said, I got to where I thought I had to quit. If I didn't quit, I was going to die. He said, I just had to quit. So what I'm doing is, every time I want a cigarette, I just act like I just finished one and I put it out. He said, I'm doing pretty good now. He said, when I first started, I mashed out 30 of them a day, and now I'm down to 28. I don't know. Maybe you need a pack of that cigarette. I don't know. I've never smoked. I have sympathy. I've had people tell me, they say, preacher, I quit drinking liquor easier than I quit cigarettes. And I know it's hard. And I know. And any of you in here who don't smoke, don't you dare look down your long nose at them that do. You might be worse off than they did if you smoked. So what I'm saying is, I believe God can help you. I believe God can do it. They have constant ads on television and newspapers now, dangerous to kids. USA Today put an article in their paper just the other day about, did you know something, ladies? Smoking makes your belly bigger. They say, most people, they say, well, if I quit smoking, I'd gain all kinds of weight. Well, did you know that when you smoke, you lose weight, but your belly puffs out? That's right. You lose it, but you don't lose it where you want to lose it. You're going like this, you know, and your belly's out like here. Got a little inner tube around you. Now, I'll tell you how to keep your weight down. Don't eat like a hog. That's all there is to it. They ain't nobody. You know what Americans want? Americans want to eat all they want and never gain weight. They want all the money they ever want and not have to work for it. They want heaven and live like hell. They want the best of both worlds. They want to live for the devil and be blessed of God. They want to stay at home and still be blessed of the Lord. They want to never give a dime to church and yet file it on their income tax. We want everything in America. You can't have everything. You can be chubby and happy or skinny and pretty. Make up your mind. Can't have it all. Can't have it all. Can't have it all. Well, let me see if anything else is coming to my mind. ...14 minutes of your life. One man asked Dale Moody one time, he said, can a man chew tobacco and go to heaven? He said, well, I reckon he can. He said, are we going to chew tobacco in heaven? He said, well, I don't know, but if you do, you'll have to go to hell to spit. Ain't going to spit on the street to go. Or like grandma, like Bobby Thompson said, he said, yeah, fair smoking will send you to hell. Anybody burn something that tastes that good, I'll go to hell. I don't think it tastes that good, but I'll tell you what we'll do. Anybody wants to quit here tonight, we'll let all the men gather around you and pray that God will do a miracle in your heart. We'll do that. And if you don't, we won't think a bit worse of you. You know what? I've always wanted our church to be a church where that people didn't look down on each other. Sometimes we'll have somebody come in and they're not dressed properly or something like that. And Lord, don't ever get to the place where you look down like you're better than they are or something like that. God can't bless a bunch of mess like that. God can't bless a bunch of mess like that. We ought to just live right and keep our nose clean and let God help our brothers and our sisters. You know, some of you, there was a time when you were struggling with some things. And if God hadn't delivered to you, you'd have still been doing them tonight.
And have compassion. Don't ever criticize nobody because they do something you done got delivered from. But on the other hand tonight, there's some things that we ought to be devoted. We ought to be devoted. We ought to be devoted. If I give you a new car, brand new, Mitsubishi, I reckon you can get one of them $7,000 or $8,000 or $9,000. You say, man, I get devoted for that. Let's say this. Say whatever it is you need to get rid of. Maybe it's them old dirty movies or something like that. Whatever it is you need to get rid of. Let's say this. Let's say you fasted tomorrow. You go home tonight, maybe eat a sandwich or something like that. Then you don't eat nothing else till Tuesday morning. Let's just say this, for example. And every time you get hungry tomorrow for food, you say, God help me. God help me. God help me. I don't believe there's nothing that you can't overcome by the help of God. So you know what you got to have, don't you? You got to have a desire. You got to have a desire. All right, Brother John, come get us a song. I've talked to you out of my heart tonight like brothers and sisters because I love y'all more than anybody in the world. And I think our church is the greatest church in the world. And I'm proud to be a part of it, and I wouldn't trade places with no other preacher in the world. I know the people here at this church. I know what they're made out of. I know they ain't perfect, but I guarantee you they're for real. And I thank God for what He's done for us. Let's don't just be a good church. Let's be a better church. This youth rally coming up in this spring, there's hundreds of churches looking at us right now. There's thousands of people looking at me right now to see what I'm going to do. Did you know there's hundreds of people right here in McDowell County? They're just waiting. They're just waiting to hear something bad on me, on you. Did you hear the other day that I committed suicide? How many of you heard that? Raise your hand. Some people got phone calls. It was all over town that I committed suicide. See, really, this is my ghost here preaching tonight. I'm in heaven. But they're just waiting. The devil's crowd would love to see us just die. But I don't believe that's going to happen. There ain't no way. You want to say something, Tater? Go ahead. Amen, Tater. Amen. Amen, Brother Tater. You smoke, don't you? How's that now? How's that? Ain't that a blessing? Man, get up and tell you he loves you after getting fussed out like I cussed out like I just now done him. That's something, man. See, really, me and him had that worked out before church tonight. I paid him $10 out there in the park. I said, now you stand up and tell everybody you appreciate me. No, I did not. I did not do that. But I appreciate Tater. That's the way a Christian ought to be. That's the way a Christian ought to be. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing How Thine Own.